The big question in business, what do today's trade numbers say about the American recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We got import and export numbers out of Washington a few moments ago. The nation's trade deficit has shrunk by 3.2% in October. Turns out we're shipping a lot of stuff these days to China. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us as she is on Fridays, live from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
All right. What does it mean for us that the trade deficit is narrowed? What does that mean?
Well, first of all, the trade deficit is the difference between what the U.S. buys from the rest of the world and what we buy from them. What this really does show is that the U.S. exporting industry is cranking up. In fact, we're at a two-year high. And as you said, China bought a record amount of stuff from the U.S., and that's good news.
China and Mexico, too, yeah. Now, everybody says, Jill, that we are the world's consumers. All we do is buy stuff. But these numbers look like that may be changing. Should we be encouraged?
I think it's really encouraging because if the Chinese develop domestic consumption, if their people start buying more of our stuff, just imagine it could be a fantastic role reversal. All of a sudden, the U.S. cranks up manufacturing, produces stuff, we ship it over to China, they buy from us. Imagine the jobs that would be created then. And we'll look back and say, thank goodness for the Chinese consumers.
And China sure is a growing market, isn't it?
It sure is.
Absolutely.
And so we'll look forward to that day.
All right. Jill Schlesinger at CBS Money Watch. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks so much. Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher at the moment, yet Asian stocks ended the day down. Fears of Chinese inflation. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ added more than 0.25%, but the Dow ended down about 2 points to close at 11,370. Congress passed major financial reform last summer with the intent of regulating banks. One of the big selling points was a consumer financial watchdog. That watchdog was Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren's idea. Warren was reportedly President Obama's choice to head the bureau. But some members of Congress, and to be sure, banks, objected, saying she would come down too hard on financial institutions. So the president instead tapped her to help set the bureau up. And Professor Warren is with us from Washington this morning. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, boy, it's a long title, was passed back in the summer. How would you say the implementation's going?
We're getting started, starting to build all the pieces. It feels a little like building an airplane, you know, lots of complicated parts to it, but lots of possibility if we get it put together the right way.
What will be the first thing, do you think, consumers will notice as a result of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau?
Oh, I think they should already be starting to notice. We've identified our priorities as making the price of credit clear, as making the risks associated with the credit clear, and making it easy to compare one product to another. And I think what we're starting to see is some number of lenders who are starting to change their products because I think they realize that's what American families want.
Would you, do you think, had more authority to set things up had you been named the official, the full-on head of this bureau?
You know, there were always two jobs on the table. One was to be nominated to be the head, which would mean hearings and back and forth and probably something going on by sometime early next year. Or, the president said in the alternative, there's a job getting started right now to get this agency going. And I said what I'd really like to do is start making it go right now. And I haven't regretted the decision at all.
What do you tell people who say government shouldn't have its hands in this at all?
In that case, you end up in a world where people who want to offer good products can't do it because they're having to compete with those who are willing to offer products loaded with tricks and traps. That's a market that doesn't work. And the job of the government, the job of the cop on the beat is to say, hey, look, everybody's got to be willing to tell up front what the real cost is. That's what causes markets to be competitive. That's what causes them to work on behalf of middle-class families.
Professor Elizabeth Warren from Washington, D.C. Professor, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
The court-appointed trustee who's trying to recoup money lost in Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme is up against a deadline to file complaints. So far, he's sued to recover about $32 billion. But some Madoff victims say now they're the target of some of those complaints. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Trustee Irving Picard has filed last-minute lawsuits against some of the world's biggest banks. He says they should have known that Bernie Madoff was defrauding his clients. He's also filed suit against Madoff family members and more than 300 of Madoff's victims, like Brian Gerber, who says he lost millions.
He's suing us like we were criminals because he says that profits we made over the years were fictitious and amounted to more than the money we lost.
The lawsuits are called clawbacks. They were filed against Madoff customers who, over time, withdrew more money from their Madoff accounts than they put in. Attorney Barry Lacks represents about a dozen of these Madoff clients.
The trustee is not saying that these victims are somehow compliant in the fraud. So why is he prosecuting these cases?
The trustee's office did not return calls seeking comment, but it has said it won't pursue claims against Madoff clients with known hardships. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, in case the kids get restless and don't have access to, I don't know, Madden football or Grand Theft Auto, the European Central Bank recommends another game they can play on the computer. Economia lets players decide what the appropriate interest rate is for three-month periods. They'll work with crafty central bank governors and advisors and look at rad economic indicators. Inflation Island, users can zoom into different places and see how things change depending upon how stable prices are. You can check them out at our website, marketplace.org. There's a link to the European games. And while you're there, check out our own Marketplace game of money, management, and fun, Budget Hero. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Iowa lawmakers are debating a cut in funding for sabbaticals to help balance the state budget. It may be a win for the Hawkeye State, but will the universities be the losers?
The first sabbatical that I took in Switzerland probably led directly to what's now, you know, over $100 million in research funding.
I'm Tess Vigeland, putting a dollar value on the sabbatical, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.